Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by introducing the redesigned CatholicSingles.com, featuring new ways that put the spotlight on the person and their faith, not just a profile picture. For the past 20 years, faithful Catholics have used CatholicSingles.com, and the reimagined CatholicSingles.com website is ready to help single Catholics take the next step in sharing meaningful relationships with other faithful Catholics. Remember, CatholicSingles.com for faith, fellowship, and love.
Hello, this is international Catholic singer Anna Nuzzo, inviting you to join me and Father Dan Cambra of the Marian Fathers on a select international tour's Divine Mercy pilgrimage to Poland and the Czech Republic. It takes place in September of 2019, and we would love for you to join us. For more information, go to my website, annanuzzo.com. Thank you, and God bless.
This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad. Welcome to the Gary Zimek Show. My name is Gary Zimek, and it is so awesome to have you with me. We're going to be hanging out for the next 30 minutes. Today, we'll continue our Easter theme. We don't want to forget the fact that the Lord is risen, and He is in our midst. So many times, we look at our problems, we panic, we get discouraged, we lose hope, because we forget that the Lord Jesus is risen from the grave, and He is with us at all times. Today, we're going to look at another appearance. We've been doing this for the past several weeks. We're going to look at another appearance of Jesus, the risen Jesus appearing to St. Peter and some of his apostles. This is going to be coming from John chapter 21. So if you want to grab your Bible, we'll talk about it. And at the end, I'll remind you of where you can find this passage. You can go back and look it over after the program is finished. I want to thank those of you who are becoming regular listeners to the Gary Zimek Show. You may be listening to it through a podcast. You may be listening to it over Catholic radio. However you listen to the program, I am so grateful to have you on board. And I want to direct you to my website, followingthetruth.com, followingthetruth.com, for more information. You can see a complete list of Catholic radio stations around the country who are now carrying the program. And if you are listening to it, maybe on a podcast, and you would like your Catholic radio station to carry the Gary Zimek Show, I would be really happy if you would contact them. So just go to followingthetruth.com, pass along my information. I would be able to give the show for free to any Catholic radio station that wants to carry it. I'm just excited to be able to share the good news with as many people as possible. Another thing I wanted to mention was that in the past few weeks, I've asked for you to send me your intentions, your prayer requests, and we're going to pray for them over the air. You could do that simply by going to email me at Gary@followingthetruth.com, Gary@followingthetruth.com, and just send along your intentions. When we do these, I'll use first names only. I could say anonymous, whatever you would like, so that your intentions can be included. We're going to pray for them. You can also go right to my website, followingthetruth.com, and click on the contact tab and contact me that way. I have some intentions that we're going to pray for, and I want to thank you for doing this, because this is a great opportunity to get everybody listening to pray for your intentions. This is a powerful chance for us. You know, sometimes we think, we use the expression, well, the only thing I can do is pray. That is like the most powerful thing we can do. So let's never forget the incredible gift that we have of being able to pray for our needs and for the needs of our loved ones. So with that in mind, let's kick off our prayers right now. And we begin in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Father in heaven, thank you for giving us yet another day of life. Father, the fact that we are able to pray, to turn to you in prayer right now, is a sign of your love, of your goodness, of your mercy, because you allow us, first of all, to be alive. A lot of times we forget that, Father. Every minute that we live is a sign of your love for us. So thank you. You created us. You allowed us to come into existence, and you're sustaining our life. So that is awesome. Thank you, Father. And also the fact that we're able to turn to you, our Heavenly Father, the God of the universe. You created everything out of nothing, and yet you let us turn to you in prayer. We thank you for that, Father. We come before you with thankful hearts, with anticipation, in knowing that you will respond to all of our prayer requests in the best way possible. Father, we present to you all of our personal needs today, the things that weigh us down, the things we worry about. We're not going to worry about them anymore. We're going to turn to you and ask you to handle these intentions for us, knowing that you love us and that you love the people for whom we pray more than we can ever imagine. So we're going to hand to you all of our personal needs, our personal intentions. Father, we specifically today present some of these intentions that have been sent to me. We present them to you now. For Carol's reunion with her children, for renewal and strength for our bishops, for an increase in vocations to the priesthood, to the religious life, for the conversion of Cheryl's family members and friends, and for their return to the church. Claire sends along a request for a miracle baby, and also for a good report for Anne's granddaughter's MRI, and for safety and protection for her grandson, Alex. Father, we also want to pray for all persecuted Christians around the world. We pray for the conversion of all sinners. For those who don't know you, we ask you to soften their hearts so they may turn back to you. Father, I ask you to use me today as your instrument, to guide my thoughts, my words, so that I may be able to proclaim your message on this program. And please, Father, open all of our hearts so that we may be able to hear what you have to say to us today and respond in a way that would please you. And Father, we ask for these things in the most holy and the most sacred name of Jesus Christ, your Son and our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God forever and ever. Amen. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Doesn't it feel better when we pray? Your problems all of a sudden get a little bit smaller if you spend some time in prayer. I know it's tough. I know as a type A person, I'm somebody who wants to run around and fix all of my problems. And that's what gets me more aggravated and anxious. Because when we do that, we start to feel that everything depends on us. Everything does not depend on us. In actuality, very little depends on us because we are, our power is not as big as we think it is not as strong as we think it is. That's the word I'm looking for, because Almighty God is in charge. And let's not forget that. And when you remember that, when you remember that he's all powerful and that he loves you with an unconditional love, which means nothing can ever change his love for you, then all of a sudden you start to breathe a sigh of relief and say, wow, this doesn't all depend on me. And you know what? You please the Lord when you turn to him and ask for help. That's what he wants us to do. So keep that in mind. That's the message I want to convey to you today. No matter what you are going through, God is bigger than your problems, and he wants us to turn to him with our needs. So let's do that. Let's do that. Let's continue to turn to him with all of our needs. Today we're going to talk about yet another appearance of the risen Christ. Now, why is this so important? Why do I keep talking about this week after week? Because we need to know it. Every time, let's be honest, every time we panic, we are forgetting that Jesus is bigger than death. He rose from the dead. He is alive today. Jesus Christ, the letter to the Hebrews tells us Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. He doesn't change. So the Jesus Christ who we read about in the Bible, who we will hear about today when we look at John chapter 21, that Jesus Christ is every bit as much alive today as he was 2,000 years ago. And he wants to get involved with your life. We forget that sometimes. In fact, we go to Mass, we read Scripture, we pray, and yet we still worry because we lose sight of the fact that the Lord cares about your car problems. He cares about your finances. He cares about the fact that you're worried about your health. He cares about all that. Let's not forget that. I want to help you to remember that with God, all things are possible and that he wants to be involved in your life. So that's why it's important to look at the appearances of the risen Christ, because he's making that same appearance to you today. And I want to help you to recognize that. When we worry about our problems, we lose sight of that fact. We focus more on our problems than on the risen Lord. And you know, we're still in the Easter season. The Easter season goes on for 7 weeks. It's huge. This is a big celebration, and that's why the church wants us to celebrate for 7 weeks, because Jesus Christ is risen from the dead. I think you get the point by now, because I've said it so many times, but I don't think I can emphasize it enough. And I hope that gives you a sense of relief. I hope it gives you a sense of strength and empowerment, because with the Lord by your side, any problem that you face begins to get a little bit smaller. It pales in comparison to somebody who is risen from the dead. And I don't care what the problem is. No doubt you may be dealing with a very serious problem in your life right now, and I'm not trying to make light of it. I understand that. But when you're talking about your Savior rose from the dead and has performed numerous miracles over and over and over again, then your problem shrinks a little bit. And that's what we want to do. We want to focus more on the Lord than on our problems. That's the way we're going to have peace in our lives. So today, we're going to turn to John's Gospel, the very last chapter, John chapter 21. We're going to look at yet another appearance of the risen Lord. This is John chapter 21, beginning in verse 1. After this, Jesus revealed himself again to the disciples by the Sea of Tiberias. And he revealed himself in this way. Now, just an aside here, the Sea of Tiberias, this is the Sea of Galilee. So Jesus had already appeared to Mary Magdalene and the other women at the tomb. We talked about that in weeks past. He appeared to his apostles hiding in the upper room. Remember that? We talked about that as well. He appeared to them once without Thomas, and then he came back when Thomas was present. So he has been appearing. He's been a busy boy here. And yet again, he reveals himself to the disciples by the Sea of Tiberias. And he revealed himself in this way. Simon Peter, Thomas, called the twin, Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two others of his disciples were together. Now, these are some of the apostles and two other disciples, two other unnamed followers of Jesus. You know what? That's you and me. Let's think about that. They're not named. So therefore, that can be you and me. We're followers of Jesus. We're his disciples. He is appearing to us along with the apostles. Pretty cool, isn't it? That's what happens when you take your time and go through some of these scripture passages. All of a sudden, the Holy Spirit, and it's always a good idea to ask the Holy Spirit before you read the Bible, to inspire you, to guide your thoughts as you read the story. So the Holy Spirit can come make certain ideas come alive that you may have missed before. Every time you read the scriptures, it's a new experience. It's dynamic. It's an encounter with the Lord. This is not just a book. This is an encounter with the Lord. So you and I are about to have the Lord appear to us along with the apostles, okay? So they're all together by the Sea of Tiberias, or the Sea of Galilee. Simon Peter said to them, "I am going fishing." They said to him, "We will go with you." Now, this is an important point. We want to talk about this for a little bit. Jesus traveled with his apostles for 3 years during his public ministry. He died on the cross. He rose from the dead, and they saw him. Remember, they saw him when they were hiding in fear that they were going to be next, that the Jews were going to come and crucify them in the same way that they crucified Jesus. They were hiding. Jesus appeared. He came through the door, not once, but twice. Once when Thomas wasn't there, and once when Thomas was there. So they've seen the risen Lord. They've heard the story of the travelers on the road to Emmaus who also encountered Jesus. They heard the testimony from Mary Magdalene and the other women who saw Jesus, who encountered Jesus when they were looking at the empty tomb. They have plenty of evidence. And what are they doing? Remember, Jesus called his apostles to be fishers of men. They left their boats. They left their livelihood to follow Jesus. They left everything to follow the Lord. Now, they went with him for 3 years. and he rose from the dead. Think about the impact that would have on them. And now look at what they're doing. It's almost as if they're lost. And Simon Peter, the head of the apostles, the first pope, said, "Hey guys, I'm going fishing." And they said to him, "We will go with you." They went back to their old way of life. They lost sight of the fact that Jesus rose from the dead. And once that happens, let's face it, when somebody rises from the dead, everything should change. But everything didn't change for them. But the good news is that Jesus was about to reach out to them. The Bible tells us they went out and got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. Can you imagine the discouragement that they're facing? They went out. They went back to their old way of life. All right, guys, we might as well go be fishermen again. And they were discouraged because they caught nothing. That story is our story. Because every time we wake up in the morning and we become discouraged. And let's face it, it'll happen. It happens to me. It will happen to you. But we have to learn to get beyond that in our lives. We have to learn to get beyond that discouragement. That's one of the reasons I do what I do on the show and why I write and why I speak. Because I want to help you to overcome that. We've got to get beyond our discouragement. They went out, they got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. That is indicative of us when we try to live our lives without Jesus. When we try to go through the motions, when we try to tackle our daily problems at the office, at home, wherever we may be, when we do it without the Lord, we are going to catch nothing. And when we do that, we will be discouraged. Verse 4, just as the day was breaking, Jesus stood on the beach. So here we go. The light of the world, as the day was breaking, they went fishing in the dark, which was customary. That's typically when they would go fishing. They caught nothing. They're discouraged. Everything is looking dark, right? That can be us. That can be us right now. Just as the day was breaking, the light of the world, Jesus stood on the beach, yet the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. Does this sound familiar? We talked about this over the past few weeks. So many people did not recognize the risen Jesus. Now, these are the guys that have seen him already. They've seen him. They saw him rise after he had risen from the dead. And yet, once again, they don't recognize him. And then what happens? Jesus is reaching out to them. See, he's reaching out to them in the midst of their discouragement, in the midst of their daily lives, in the midst of their occupation. Jesus is going to find us. He's going to find us at work. He's going to find us out on the street, wherever we are, at the grocery store. If you're discouraged, I want you to know something. Jesus right now is reaching out to you. He is there. He is standing on the shore. But just like the disciples, you might not recognize him. What happens then? So Jesus speaks to them. He said to them, "Children, have you caught any fish?" Can you imagine that? Can you imagine how these guys are feeling? Now, they also don't recognize Jesus at this point. They answered him, "No." Kind of a short answer. Can you imagine the discouragement, the dejection, the hopelessness? They have no direction in their lives, and they caught no fish. And Jesus said to them, "Cast the net on the right side of the boat, and you will find some." He's telling them what to do. As he tells us, too. There are so many times in the Bible where the Lord gives us directions. "Come to me if you're weary and burdened, and I'll give you rest. Be not afraid. Let not your heart be troubled. Believe in my Father. Believe in me." You know, he's giving us all of these messages. He's telling us ways that we can overcome our daily discouragement and hopelessness. He wants to walk with us. That's what he's doing here. Now, what's really neat is that they listened to him. So they cast the net, and now they were not able to haul it in for the quantity of fish. Working without Jesus, they catch nothing. Following the instructions of Jesus, the net is overflowing. Do you see that? "Apart from me," Jesus said in John 15:5, "you could do nothing. But with me, you could do all things." Philippians 4:13. "I could do all things in him who strengthens me." That is such a powerful reminder for us. With the Lord by our side, we can deal with whatever it is that he allows to come into our lives. If you're at work, turn to the Lord, ask for help. I remember when I was working as a software developer, there were so many times when I would be panicking, how am I ever going to figure out this problem? And every now and then, I would remember, oh yeah, I can pray. And I would say, Lord, can you help me? And you know, I still forget that to this day. And it takes me a little while to remember. I've got several writing projects going on right now. And there's times when I think, oh my gosh, how am I ever going to figure this out? I don't know what to say. And then, oh yeah, I guess I should say a prayer. I forget that sometimes. Please try not to forget that. Ask the Holy Spirit to help you to remember to always say a prayer. So now they got all these fish, and the disciple who Jesus loved, typically this is thought to be John, said to Peter, "It is the Lord." Finally, they recognize him. When Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on his clothes, for he was stripped for work, and he sprang into the sea. Here we go, Peter jumping out of the boat once again, once he knows that it really is Jesus. But the other disciples came in the boat, dragging the net full of fish, for they were not far off from the land, but about 100 yards off. So they stayed in the boat, but Peter, in his zeal, once he sees Jesus, because Peter knew the Lord, even though it's interesting that John was the one who recognized him, Peter didn't recognize him, but once Peter knew it was Jesus, right out of the boat, just as he did before, because he wanted to follow the Lord. And that's what I love about Peter. He made a lot of mistakes. He was very impulsive. He didn't control. He had very little self-control, it seemed like. But yet he had this desire to encounter Jesus. And the Lord would always reward that, as he does in our life. He rewards those who try to actively seek him. You're going to mess up. I'm going to mess up. That's what we have the sacrament of confession for. The Lord forgives our sins. But just keep trying. Just keep trying to seek Jesus. When they got on land, they saw a charcoal fire there. Now, that's an important detail. I'll tell you why in a minute. With fish lying on it and bread, Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish that you have just caught." Now, take note of his words. "Bring me some of the fish that you have just caught." He did all the work, but it's so cool. In his compassion and mercy, he talks to his followers and says, "Bring me the fish that you have caught." And that's what he does for us, too. He's behind the scenes working in our lives, but sometimes we're in a position where we can get the credit. You know, if I write a really good article, or if you accomplish something big in your personal life or in your career, always remember that if it was not for the grace of God, you would not be able to do anything. But he gives us gifts and allows us to accomplish great things in the world, but let's never forget that it's him that enables us to do anything. And let's thank him for that. "So bring me some of the fish that you have caught." So Simon Peter went aboard and hauled the net ashore, full of large fish, 153 of them. And although there were so many, the net was not torn. So they've got this abundance of fish. St. Jerome said 153 represented all the known species of fish. So this is a vast and very bountiful catch that they have here. "There were so many, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, 'Come and have breakfast.'" How neat is that? Jesus is making breakfast for his followers. Now, I don't know about this idea of fish for breakfast, but I like a little sausage or bacon and eggs, but I don't know if I could deal with the fish. But that's beside the point. "None of the disciples dared to ask him, 'Who are you?' because they knew it was the Lord. Jesus came and he took the bread and he gave it to them, and so with the fish." This was now the third time that Jesus was revealed to the disciples after he was raised from the dead. So here we see Jesus reaching out to his followers, coming to their assistance, helping them with their livelihood, if you will. And again, that's a great example of how the Lord wants to get involved in our daily lives. Once they listened to him, then everything turned around, and they were able to do so much more. That's one of the biggest struggles that people like me who deal with anxiety, who are anxious by nature, we forget. We think it's all on us. I've got to do this. I have to succeed. I've got to work. Even if when we were trying to become holy, I'm going to do it on my own. Why did I do that? Why did I say that bad thing? Why can't I keep my mouth shut? Why can't I overcome this sinful habit? Why did I fail? And that, honestly, is a sign of pride, because we're not trusting in the power of the Lord's grace. So if you're struggling with something, ask the Lord for help. Don't try to do it on your own. You're going to become anxious, and you will rapidly realize, just like his apostles, that you can't do very much on your own, but with him you can do all things. Now, when they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." He said to him, "Feed my lambs." A second time he said to him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." He said to him, "Tend my sheep." Then Jesus said to him the third time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, "Do you love me?" And he said to him, "Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep." Now, I just want to go back to that charcoal fire. The only other time the charcoal fire is mentioned in the New Testament is when Peter was warming himself on the night Jesus was arrested, and he denied him three times. Remember that? Look what's happening here. Once again, John calls our attention to the charcoal fire, reminding us that the Lord always gives us a second chance. Peter denied Jesus three times, and here he's given a chance to say that he loves him three times. Now, what's even cooler about this is when we look at the original manuscript, the New Testament was written in Greek, and in Greek there are three different words for love. One of them is eros, which is a physical love. That's the physical love between a husband and wife, for instance. There's also the word philia, which is to be fond of. It's friendship. It's brotherly love. It's to be a friend with somebody. Now, the highest form of love is agape love, which is sacrificial love, love on the highest level. That's sacrificial love, such as the love Jesus has for us. When Jesus asked Peter, and this loses something because English only has one word for love. When Jesus first said to Peter, "Peter, do you love me?" he used the word agape. "Peter, do you love me?" with a sacrificial love. Peter responded, "Yes, Lord, you know that I'm your friend." He used a lesser form. Jesus responded again, "Peter, do you love me?" Once again, agape, sacrificial, self-giving love. Peter responded, "Of course, Lord, you know I'm your friend, or I like you." The third time, and this is what I want you to get out of this, because this is so powerful. This is how Jesus always meets us where we are. He said to Peter, "Peter, do you like me? Are you my friend?" And Peter replied, "Yes, Lord, I'm your friend. I like you." Jesus accepted Peter's limited love. Peter wasn't willing to go all the way, but Jesus worked with him. He will work with us as well. Again, isn't that a great story? I love it. We are just about out of time. I've got to run. Thank you for listening to the program. We worked with John beginning in chapter 21, verse 1 today, if you want to go back and read it. Thank you for listening to the Gary Zimek Show. Please visit my website, followingthetruth.com, to get in touch with me or to bring me to speak at your parish. Until we meet again, remember that the Lord is always with you. Do not be afraid. We'll talk to you next time.
Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by Jack Kane Ford. Find your next Ford Tough vehicle at caneford.com.